Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
About Friday, I thought I'd title the sermon today TGIF, because TGIF, thank God it's Friday because IIF. You know, people just love Friday so much. Who doesn't love Friday, the end of the week? It's time to party. It's time to relax. It's time to switch off. Time to hang out with family, eat, celebrate. So much that there's so many songs about Friday. Can you guys put on that song, Dave? There's a song. You guys will know this song. It's coming, hopefully.
Oh, no.
They're not excited that it's Friday. You guys know this song. You guys want to get up and sing. You know this song. If you haven't heard this song, you're missing out. All right, that's enough. Michael, you haven't heard this song? Oh, mate. What's going on? Because every day is a good day for you, right? Whether it's Sunday, Friday. I love the video for that song. Me and my kids want to reenact it one day. There's this dude dancing outside the car. The car's moving and dude's dancing. Because it's Friday. People live for Friday. People live for the weekend. But 2,000 years ago, April 3rd, AD 33, was a special Friday. People didn't really know. But there in Jerusalem, there was going to be a death. A death of the Son of God, an innocent man, who was to die so that the guilty would have life. That Friday has put such a mark in history that since that Friday, things have never been the same. So TGIF, because IIIF. Yeah, you're still thinking, what is the IIF? Oh, thank God it is Friday. Hey, did someone mess it up for me? Oh, man. Dave, you, sorry, man, we love you, but don't come back on the desk. It's all good. Dave just doesn't like suspense. Does he? But, you know, on that Friday, early morning on that Friday, Jesus is in the garden. He's praying with his disciples. He knows what's coming. He's been telling his disciples what's coming. The hour is coming, but they're not ready for it. Judas betrays him, brings the soldiers in. Peter's like, "You're not today, Satan." Pulls out his sword and cuts the guy's ear off. But Jesus is like, "What are you doing?" He heals his ear. Jesus is taken by the soldiers. He's arrested. He goes to the Sanhedrin. They ask him, "Who do you think you are?" They're trying to get him to say he's the Son of God. He takes his time. He's like, "You're saying it. I'm not saying it." He goes to the high priest, to Cephas' house. They just bouncing him around to get him to the point where they can crucify him. They end up at Pilate's place, the Roman governor, and he can tell this guy is not guilty. This guy is a good man. But people were not expecting that a savior, a king, would come in the form of what they were seeing. Just one of them, just a normal man. But Pilate got to the point where he could do nothing. He had to look out for his own reputation and relationship in politics, that he washed his hands, and he even tried to say, "Hey, every year around the Passover, you can release one of the criminals, one of the prisoners. Why don't we release him?" They're like, "No, release Barabbas. He was a real criminal, a real thief, done so many things. Release him, but crucify him." And on that Friday, he was led to the crucifixion. We get to read the story in so many, in the Gospels, four Gospels. There's all different accounts, but they're all very similar. But today I just want to read out of John. John chapter 19. We're going to go 17 to 30. On the screen later on, you'll see verse 28. But if you've got your Bibles, just open up to John 19. You know, we get excited about Fridays because the weekend's coming. But before you know it, it's Monday again. And oh, we're back at it. You know, whether you love your job or not, your business, but still, we love the weekend. But the weeks just roll. They just roll. But what we're wanting to talk about today is something that happened on that Friday that changed everything. We were able to enter into a permanent rest in Jesus because of what he did. Amen. So let's read verse 16. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross. So the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. They put him between two thieves. And we know one of them was like, man, I want to be in heaven with you. And Jesus assured him, you'll be in heaven with me. One of them was just going off at Jesus so much that he had a crow just come and chop his eye out. But Jesus was there with thieves. Verse 19, as he hung on the cross. We also told verse 19, Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. See, Pilate knew who he was. He was like, yep, we'll go with what you say. He just knew in his heart he was the King of the Jews. Verse 20, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city and was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. See, what was happening here was actually fulfilling prophecies, scriptures, the things that God had spoken to the prophets and things that had been recorded hundreds of years ago, and now it is happening. It is being fulfilled. Yep. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Imagine how they were feeling. We celebrate Good Friday. Reflect, but that would have been so sad. It was a hard day for them. They would have looked back afterwards and went, oh, yep, this is what it was all about. This was a sad day for them. There was a lot of pain. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And then the death of Jesus, verse 28, comes up on the screen. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. Just imagine how long he's been on that cross for. He's been on there for hours, hanging. They put nails through his hands on a wooden cross. Before he even went to the cross, he had been whipped. He had been spat on. He had been beaten. You know, the journey from where he was to the cross was only under a third of a mile. It wasn't that far. And the crossbar he had to carry was only around 40 kilograms. It wasn't even that heavy. But because he was so tired, because he was so hurt, Simon, the Cyrene of Sirene had to come and help him and carry the cross. Then they put him up on the cross. He's up there for hours. It was his darkest hour. And now he's coming to the end. And we know the story. Jesus even says, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. How good is our God's heart? Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So he says, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. You know, this wine was this real cheap wine vinegar. It was actually wine that the Roman soldiers would just sit there when crucifying people and would drink and would just wait there for hours watching these people die. But he says, I thirst. And then they give him, and he takes that last sip. It says, verse 30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. Those are powerful words. That's the double IF I'm talking about. It is finished. Thank God it is Friday because it is finished. What does Jesus mean by it is finished? Just think about that for you. What did he mean? What's finished? And he says when he was looking around, he saw that it was finished. He just needed one sip because he had nothing left in him. Nothing left. But he needed one little sip of something to drink so he could get that energy to just say, Tetelestai. Just to say that. It is finished. Tetelestai. I can't remember if that's the right word. But there's also teleo. It means fulfilled, complete, to bring to completion. He's saying it is done. Yes. What is he talking about? I'm like, dude, when did it start? What are you on about? But it started back in Genesis, right at the start. At creation. God created Adam and Eve on the sixth day. He created men and women for relationship with him. Yes. But then they messed up. He said, don't eat from that one tree. God, why would you point out the tree? It's like, what's going on here? But the enemy comes in the form of a serpent. He says, did God really say don't eat from this tree? And Eve is very curious. And he's like, God doesn't want you to eat from that because he doesn't want you to know what he knows. He doesn't want you to be like him. So what does Eve do? Oh, Adam, this is good. So they both eat and now they can see what's right, what is wrong. They were naked. Next thing, they're trying to cover themselves up. God kicks them out of the garden. Go back to the book of Genesis, the fall of man. From that time, God has been pursuing his people. He's been looking for a person, for a nation, for a people that would partner with him in his mission to reconcile people to himself. He wants us to himself. So he's been on a mission. He uses Noah. He uses Moses. The Israelites end up in slavery for 400 years. He delivers them out of Egypt. He gives them the Ten Commandments. But even those Ten Commandments, none of us can abide to all of them. They couldn't abide with all of them. But God gave them those commandments to show them that they need a Savior, that they need God. He then gives them laws around sacrifice because sin is what got them kicked out of the garden. Sin is what got them kicked out from relationship with God. Because sin separates us from God. Sin is just us falling short of the mark of God. He is holy. So this whole system of sacrifices comes in. There's a penalty for sin. And the penalty for sin is death. But God loves his children so much. So he says, you know what? Get a substitute. Bring a bird, bring a cow, bring a goat, bring a sheep. It was so complex, I'm not going to go through it today. We'll be here until Easter Sunday. But there had to be bloodshed, and they had to go through the high priests. But that would never be enough, because they would mess up again. We still mess up. So he made a promise that he would send a king, he would send a Messiah. And then he sends Jesus, God himself. The Son of God comes, and he lives on this earth. He shows them how to live. He has 30 years of preparation, and once he gets baptized, his ministry starts. And the Jewish rulers did not like him. His own disciples betrayed him. Pilate gave him nothing. He tried. Herod sent him the other way. You wonder who killed Jesus? Is it all those people? It was actually part of God's plan. That's what he came to do. What did he mean by it is finished? It was complete. This is what he came to do, to die on the cross. What does it mean for you that it is finished? It was God's mission of reconciliation. You know, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. With him dying on the cross, that system of sacrifices stopped. There's no need for that, because he was the perfect lamb, the lamb that was slain. He was the perfect lamb. No more need for sacrifices. So thank God it is Friday, because it is finished. We heard it in communion today, that he came, he died, so that our sins could be forgiven. There's no other way that our sins can be forgiven. My sins, your sins. When he said it is finished, he was referring to the great work of redemption. God's work of redemption. It was done. He redeemed his people. We are redeemed. We can be redeemed. We've been bought with a price. See, when he said it is finished, if you read John 6:51, you see Jesus was talking about giving his own flesh. As he died on the cross, he had given his flesh for the life of the world. He talks about that he's going to do that. When he says it is finished, John 10:11, Jesus talks about the good shepherd. As the good shepherd, he had laid down his life for the sheep. When he says it is finished, John 12:24, he talks about the seed having to fall to the ground. The seed fall into the ground and dying. And as it dies, much more seed is produced. Yes. He was talking about himself. He was the seed. It is finished. He was the seed that had fallen into the ground, and he would now produce many seeds. We're part of it. Amen. We're part of the many seeds. This has been happening for the last 2,000 years. Disciples and disciples and disciples, children of God, followers of Christ. When he said it is finished, John 15:13, we see that he had shown the great love, a love greater than any other. He said he would lay down his life for his friends. There's no love greater than laying down a life for your friends. Everything God had sent his son Jesus to do was done. Thank God it is Friday, because it is finished. If Jesus' work and assignment were completed, why are we still trying to work for it? He said it is finished. I don't know about you, but I know sometimes I'm trying to work for his love, for his acceptance, to feel worthy. I'm looking at what I do, what I can do, what I haven't done, to work for his acceptance. I'm trying to add to what he did on the cross. He said it is finished. Sometimes I'm questioning my salvation. Not recently, but I remember back in the days. Don't get worried. But I'm sure we can all relate. That at times we try to earn God's love, not even thinking about it, but we forget that it is finished. That's why it's good to just reflect. What did he actually mean? It is finished. Why do we still struggle sometimes to not accept that? It all goes back to Genesis again. There's this intrinsic thing in us called pride, called wanting independence. We want to be in control. We want to be our own gods at times. We talked about a few weeks, we want to be self-made in the culture that we live in. People will recognize self-made people. That's where worth comes from. How did you get there? What did you do? If I say, oh, it's all God, people are like, what are you talking about? But we try and do all these things, but at the end, we realize they don't mean anything because something's still missing. Because we're missing the mark, because Jesus has already done the work. And we need to start there with what he has done. Receive that. And everything needs to flow out of that. Think about it. If you've been dreaming of a house that you want to build, that you want to live in, then someone builds this perfect house. The bathrooms are just the way you want them. The kitchen, the garage, everything, the gate. The Range Hood, just like everything. You get this perfect house, double story, whatever it is that you want, that weatherboard, and they give it to you. They say, it is finished, it is done. Would you go and start destroying it, ruining it, and trying to start it again? Would you go, thanks, mate, that's awesome, I'm just going to go, and I'm going to start again? You see, we easily do that with the work of Jesus. We get so busy trying to work for our salvation, work for approval. But he said it is finished. And when he says it is finished, it means there's no need for religious performance. There's no need for religious performance. People don't want to associate with Christians because they think Christianity is all about do this, don't do that, do this. It's never been about that. It's about being his children. It's about receiving his love. It starts on the inside, and then from there, we do out of being. It's about being. Just think about being. I am a child of God. I've received his love. I'm forgiven. I've been adopted because of what Jesus has done. It is finished. He is risen. The Holy Spirit lives in me. This is who I am. This is the most important thing. This is being. Nothing should change that. But out of that, then we can do. We can love people. We can work through our marriages. We can work on our businesses. We can serve God. But if we start here on doing, I want to do, I want to do, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and we're depending on the doing to determine the being, if you stop the doing, what happens? If you're relying on the doing. If you stop the doing, then you think, I'm not that. I'm not that. But if you are who God says you are and you accept it, because all of us know at some point we're going to mess up. At some point we're going to have seasons where we can't do. But if you rely on doing, when doing stops, you feel like, oh, who am I? But if you know who you are in Christ, no matter what you're doing, how much you're messing up, how much is changing, you always come back to this. This is who I am. And God will do his healing in you. God will speak to you. And before you know it, you're flowing again in what he wants you to do. So it's not about what we do. It starts with who we are and whose we are. Do you guys relate to that or what? Ah, man, so it is finished. If Jesus was enough for God, if what he did was enough for God, why can't it be enough for us? We've got to start at the finished work. That's where we've got to flow from. So it is finished. What did he mean by it is finished? But then how do you and I actually live and receive that truth? How can we live from that truth? How can we live from the truth that it is finished. We've got to remember who Jesus is. John 1 verse 3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the source of all things. He's the beginning. He's the end. See, the cross is to be the beginning of our new lives. The old is gone, the new has come. The cross is to be the beginning, and we're to receive his truth. It is finished. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. But what I love is the word says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. See, our weeks can be on repeat, but it is finished. The only thing that needs to be on repeat in our walks with God is that we go from glory to glory. We go from strength to strength. We're being purified, sanctified daily to become more like Jesus. That's what needs to be on repeat. Not the works. The works will come out of the finished work. So as believers of God, as believers of what Jesus has done and did on the cross, we confess that, we believe that, we receive salvation, the gift of salvation. And the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts. But it's so easy to try to work on the Holy Spirit. I've received the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can have a relationship with God is through the Holy Spirit. Jesus rose. He spent 40 days with his disciples, and then he ascended to be with his Father, and he's seated at the right hand. He's just chilling. He's resting, but he's interceding for us at the same time. But he's at rest, and we need to be seated in heavenly places with him. But it's so easy to be like, well, I've got the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit, oh, you can have this. We can talk about this, but not this area of my life, not my relationship, not my Sunday, not my weekend, not my family. We can do that. And it's real. We all have pressures. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to work on us, he transforms us. What's on his heart becomes what's on our heart. And we don't have to strive. The word says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. No need for religious performance. See, there was an exchange at the cross that happened. As he was dying, there was an exchange. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. Christ became sin so that we could become righteous. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus on the cross took upon himself all of our sin, past, present, and future. He had no sin. Hebrews 4:14 tells us we have a high priest who is the perfect high priest who lived on this earth. He was tempted in every way, but yet was without sin. And because of that, we can boldly approach the throne of grace, where we find our present help in time of need. So we need to accept the exchange that happened on the cross. Our position in Jesus is righteous. We are righteous, not because of what we do, but because of what he did. Thank God it's Friday because it is finished. So as we conclude, if you can just stand up, and if the band can get ready, we're going to sing that song, It's the Blood. But we need to let go. We all actually need to let go. Whether you've been a Christian for years, whether you're not yet a believer and you're searching, when it comes to this truth, it is finished. We need to let go and receive his finished work. God's mission was completed. on that Good Friday. His mission was completed. It is finished.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.